Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Well, hey, friends, so glad you've tuned in to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leaning Heiss. Boy, are you in for a ride today, whether you have kids in college or are rocking a baby. Today, I'm joined by Julie Lohs, our Moms in Prayer College liaison, and we are going to talk about the pitfalls and incredible potential that our students face as they head to college. You're going to love hearing the stories about how God has moved in the past and can move in the future as we pray. We'll also cover National Day of Collegiate Prayer coming up on February 28th, 2019, and how you can get involved no matter the stage of motherhood you're in. Julie is going to list resource after resource that you will want to look into, and I've listed all of those on today's show notes at the blog at momsinprayer.org. Let's welcome Julie. Julie, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. We're so glad to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here. I've been enjoying the podcast.
Well, it's fun to get to meet another Moms in Prayer mom with the same passion and heartbeat that I have. Julie, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Yes, my name is Julie Lohs, and I have a husband and two boys, and one is now adulting. He's all on his own out working in the real world, and the other is in his last semester of college. I can hardly believe it.
I love that, adulting. It's on t-shirts now. Like, I don't feel like adulting today, but yeah, that's exactly what we hope they will do someday. So,
right.
Oh, good news. Well, tell us about your Moms in Prayer story.
Sure thing. Yeah. As I recall, I heard about Moms in Prayer on that famous broadcast on Focus on the Family. And at the time, I did not have children, but I vividly remember thinking, one day that sounds like a ministry that I'm going to want to be involved in. Fast forward a few years, I'm married, I've got two boys, and my oldest is getting ready to start kindergarten. And I started doing some research. Where is that Moms in Prayer? Because we felt really called to the public school, and I felt especially that that was going to need to be bathed in prayer. And as God would have it, Fern Nichols, the founder of Moms in Prayer, was speaking 15 minutes from my house the year before my oldest son started kindergarten. So I went to that, learned about what it was to be a Moms in Prayer mom, how to become a leader and start a group, because there was not one for my son's elementary school at the time. And I remember going up to Fern and asking her, how do I find another mom? Because I didn't have any moms from my church with kids in that school. And she said, just pray. All you need is one other mom. So I prayed and I prayed, and it took a year. And I did not find another mom until my oldest started first grade. And we got a group started. And after that, I moved into leadership. I served as a contact person, an area coordinator, and then I served as the state coordinator for Missouri for about 4 years. And after that, I moved into being a college groups liaison, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. And I'm still a group leader. I help co-lead my college prayer group.
Once a Moms in Prayer mom, always a Moms in Prayer mom.
This is true.
It's so funny because a lot of women think that once their kids are out of school, that there isn't a reason to continue praying. It's like, I did Moms in Prayer, I did my time, but I'm pretty sure that you would argue that we never stop praying for our kids or we graduate out of Moms in Prayer.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Just because your child graduates from high school does not mean that you have graduated from Moms in Prayer. There are still some very important years ahead. I would argue even probably the most important that we be on our knees for our kids.
Well, Julie, explain your role in Moms in Prayer right now.
So as I said, I serve kind of in a national volunteer position, and I am called the College Groups Liaison. And as such, what I do is encourage and equip moms to continue to pray into those college years. And the main way that I'm able to do that is through a monthly prayer points email that we send out. And I give info to our college group leaders kind of on tips about college, college issues, how we should be praying, encouragement to stay the course, course, you know, during these college years, but the main thing that I was really impassioned to do, and headquarters agreed with me to do this, is that in these monthly prayer points, I give actual suggestions of how to pray strategically and intentionally, not just for our students, but also for professors, administrators, campus issues, and campus ministries and campus ministers, because all of that encompasses things that are affecting our child's life on campus. And if you are a registered Moms in Prayer College Group leader, you should automatically receive that every month. If not, you can go on to the website and register to receive it, or if you just want to have it, you know, to have on your own, you can get it there. We do archive it on the college pages, on the Moms in Prayer, Prayer Facebook page. So it's always put up there each month where you can reference that. And we do have a College Praying Moms Facebook page. So every month I will post the prayer points there. And then I also use that page if something comes up during the month, you know, maybe an interesting article on an issue on college students or college campuses, or maybe I hear of an urgent prayer need. That's where I can communicate with moms even throughout the month.
Julie, I didn't even know that resource existed. What a huge gift to college moms. Yes. See, there's a saying about having young kids where I just haven't reached all those steps yet, but right. I love that. Moms don't have to reinvent the wheel when you're helping guide them into that.
Right. And what I found as I was entering the college years myself, I mean, you've been, most of our moms have probably been very involved moms. They've been, you know, to PTA, they're volunteering in the schools. Well, when your kid goes away to college, you really don't know what's happening on that college campus. And moms were struggling with how do I pray, especially when it comes to the school concerns portion of the prayer sheet. And I call that the campus concerns portion. So God was very gracious to me in that He led me into a personal study of apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith. And that really opened my eyes to a lot of the issues and problems that our college students were facing. I actually ended up working for a year on a college campus, and I worked for 5 years on the national staff of Ratio Christi, and that's a campus apologetics ministry. And through those experiences, God helped me see why we needed to be so much more intentional, informed, and strategic in how we pray. And I've now taken that into actually even working with another ministry called Mama Bear Apologetics, which helps younger moms train their kids and how to defend the faith. So God has crafted all those experiences and built into me ways to help moms pray strategically.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the initiative and doing this, because this is not an easy job. And it's one thing to do this on your own, but to make it available as a resource mm-hmm. to moms everywhere. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to mention to our listeners is that we really are doing an initiative to get all group members registered, not just leaders. And so if you're inside of a college group and you haven't gotten emails from Julie, you can go right onto the website and do that. And those can come to your emails too. We are not holding out on you. We want you to have those as well. Mm-hmm. Julie, I feel silly even asking these questions, but I want to tee you really up for this. Why do college campuses need to be a priority in our prayers and really in our Big C church today?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking this, because I feel like this is something God has called me to wake the church up to through what I've learned with Moms in Prayer and work in campus ministry. And in doing some research and just being exposed to this, the church needs to be aware of the college campus, for one thing, and not forget our students when they go off to college. So one of the best ways we can remember them is to be praying for them. But I want everybody to just think about this for a minute. Where do our future leaders come from? leaders in business, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, medicine, policymaking, you know, all those cultural spheres that are going to shape our future world, those students are being trained on the college campus. And it has famously been said, as the colleges go, so go the nation. And there is a huge, unfortunately, anti-Christian bias on our campuses that our Christian students are having to fight against. The Christian worldview is really no longer held in any sort of regard. Professors hold enormous power and sway over our students. And think about the numbers just for a minute. There are a little under 5,000 campuses when you consider two-year, four-year colleges, and I think even community colleges. There are about 20 million college students, 1.5 million professors, and there are 1.1 million international students on our campus. So just think of what a huge mission field to America and to the world the church has right in our own backyard at the college campuses that may be around your church. College has also been really sort of a breaking point for many Christian students' faith. Lots of research behind that, that when our kids aren't trained in what they believe, why they believe it, and how to stand up for the Christian worldview in the marketplace of ideas, many of them walk away from their faith. And they may walk out of college with a degree, but 75% of them are going to walk away having lost their faith in God. And that's, I think, in a nutshell, some of the reasons that we really need to be praying for the college campus.
That is staggering. My husband and I had the opportunity to go to a Christian university, and we met there. And then I spent some time at a state school. And I remember in biology class, my professor walking in the first day at the state school, and he said, "If you believe in God, you will have a real problem in this class." And that's how we began the semester.
Yes.
And I remember just reeling, thinking, he's antagonistic from the very beginning. And I think that we may know that as moms, that our kids are walking into environments that are going to impact them. But
yeah, I don't want to paint all professors as evil. That is certainly not the case. But believe me, from having worked in a campus ministry, we got reports straight from the campus of the way students were being attacked and marginalized. And so it is an issue. And unfortunately, Christian campuses also have issues as well. So we need to be praying for every college campus, secular and Christian.
You bet. What other unique needs do our college students have?
You know, this is something that's really on my heart, and I want to make people aware of a great resource that can help with this. It is imperative that our Christian students get connected to a thriving Christian ministry and a local church even before they ever step foot on campus. Those two things, research has shown, are just, they're critical. And the first 2 weeks of college for a freshman, if they don't get connected to that, the stats of them doing that later, let's say, greatly, you know, decrease. And so think about it. We start helping our kids research AP credits, housing, meal plans, and majors. But do we research what the spiritual climate is like on campus? Do we look into what campus ministries exist, what local church they can join? And so that is a real need. And there is a great help for that now for youth pastors, for parents, and for students. There's a great ministry called campusministrylink.org. And I would encourage everyone to visit that. You can research the campuses that your child is looking into, find out what campus ministries exist, and reach out to them and even meet with them when you go on your campus visits. So that's a real need. So that's kind of one sphere. And then if you want to talk about kind of more of the emotional needs of the college student, unfortunately, suicide is the second most common cause of death among college students. Wow. And when you look at the intense pressure, the loneliness, the struggle for identity, being away from a family support group, that is another huge prayer need on the college campus.
That is devastating and so important. And if it's not our student who faces those issues, they'll be surrounded by students who are.
Absolutely.
That statistic is going to affect all of us.
Right.
But there really is good news about college campuses. And mm-hmm. and we started to say this, we don't want to paint college campuses as something that's negative. God has used universities and college students to change history over and over again. So why don't you talk to us about the revivals that have happened in our nation because of our college campuses?
Right. So if you're at all familiar with the history of great awakenings and revivals in America, in the 1700s and 1800s, the first and second great awakening, these were birthed on college campuses, and they were preceded by corporate prayer and outpourings of prayer. And that has been documented, that every great awakening is preceded by great seasons of prayer. And that is why it is so important what we moms are doing. We are praying for spiritual revival and awakening on our campuses. And the thing is not only did there occur these awakenings, but out of those came great missionary movements that actually affected culture and spread all across America. Colleges, you know, were originally founded in large part by churches, and they were founded to supply the next generation of evangelical leaders. So churches had a really vested interest in their college students, and they came alongside and prayed for them. And we're gonna talk about how that history is now continuing here in a little bit in our interview.
I absolutely love the next story that I've asked you to tell. Mm-hmm. Love it. Partially because I went to Moody Bible Institute. Could you tell us, Julie, the story about D.L. Moody and the Praying Moms?
Right. So if you're not familiar with D.L. Moody, he was a great evangelist from the 1800s. And I have an interesting story. This is maybe why this is even more special to me. D.L. Moody is my husband's great, great, great uncle. His grandmother was a Moody. So that's kind of neat to know this is part of my family history. So the story goes, and you can read about this more on the Collegiate Day of Prayer website, but D.L. Moody was speaking to a group of students at Cambridge, and the boys were incredibly rowdy. They would not listen to him. They were disruptive. I mean, just right out rude. And he was already had been hesitant, Moody had, to go over there and speak to them. He just didn't feel real comfortable doing this. Well, he was so desperate that he called on 300 local moms, some of whom had students at Cambridge and some who didn't. And he asked them to pray. He said, "I just need you to pray that they would listen and that the Holy Spirit would do a work among them." And Moody is actually quoted as saying the next day after he asked these moms to pray, that the tide turned. These young men paid attention, they listened, and out of them came some of the great student volunteer mission movements. And then he brought this to America. The same thing happened at an even greater degree. So here, we moms have a legacy that we see all the way back to the 1800s of praying for kids on college campus and seeing the tide turn. And I believe we can still do that.
I do too. I absolutely believe that as we gather to pray, God will move. Do you have regular communication with college groups around the United States? What's our state of the union, Julie, right now?
You know, I do hear some from them, and I wish I heard more. And so I'm going to say, if you're a college mom listening right now, we would love to get more feedback of your testimonies and your answers to prayer so that we can share those and encourage those with other moms. But every now and then, if you'll visit that College Praying Moms Facebook page, that's a good place to maybe see some updates from college groups or for moms to go share their testimony. So I would just encourage them to do that. We would love to hear more from them.
So February 28, 2019, it's a little over a month away when we're recording this, but I'm sure it will be very close. It's National Collegiate Day of Prayer.
Right.
Tell us about National Collegiate Day of Prayer. What does that mean? What are they doing?
So as I mentioned before, you know, churches were very involved with praying for the college campus because of what it meant for them and their future. And there was a history for about 100 years of there being a concert or day of prayer for our colleges. And for some reason, I'm not really sure, I haven't read the history on this, it fell out of favor and it went away for about 100 years. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, a group of men who knew of this history decided that this should be reestablished. And they got together and have reestablished the Collegiate Day of Prayer. So it is held on the fourth Thursday of every February, which means that this year, 2019, that falls on February 28th. This is a day for the church at large to come together and pray for our campuses. So here's what that looks like. There is a website which you would need to go to, and it's just collegiatedayofprayerspelledout.org. And on that, you can read about some of this great history that we've been sharing about today. But that's where you go to adopt campuses to pray for. So I like to tell our moms and prayer moms what we do every week of the year. We can help invite the church at large to do a one day on the year. And the goal is on that day to have every campus in America adopted and prayed for. And you can adopt as many campuses as you want. You know, maybe it's your alma mater. Maybe it's where your kids go. Maybe it's one, you know, in your backyard or across the way, you know, whatever. But what you need to do, and I just would really like to encourage our moms and prayer moms to go talk to their pastors, their women's ministries, their Bible studies. Share some of what you've learned today about the importance of praying for our college campus and get your church to come on board with this. It's one day out of the year. And the website has promotional materials. It has videos. It has prayer points. And we have a Collegiate Day of Prayer prayer point sheet on our website as well. And I'll be hosting two nationwide prayer calls that people can call in and we can pray together on that day through that prayer sheet. And there'll be information about that on the college pages on our website. I want to share this one other fact and one other resource that kind of dovetails right into this. Believe it or not, about 77% of our college campuses, as of now, have no known gospel ministry presence on them. Okay. And in a historic move, CRU, which it used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU, and InterVarsity, probably the two largest campus ministries in America, they have come together in a historic effort called Every Campus. And the website is everycampus.com. The goal of this is to have every campus in America prayer walked in 2019. And they have a prayer walking guide on there of how to do that. But as part of that, where there are no current gospel-centered campus ministries, they want to pray and birth those into existence and find people on those campuses who can help set up campus ministries. And this will expand. It won't just have to be, you know, a CRU or an IV ministry. It can be any form of a gospel-centered campus ministry. So the Collegiate Day of Prayer is a great kind of catalyst for the Every Campus movement. And it's a movement that will continue, but 2019 is the year that they want every campus prayer walked.
You know, I think this should matter to every mom, not just the college moms
right
now. And maybe you can speak to that end. Why would a young mom with preschoolers right now want to be involved in this movement and seeing every campus, college campus or university covered mm-hmm. in prayer?
Well, think about the environment that you would like to exist on the college campus if and when your child goes to it. I mean, it's already threatening enough and maybe scary enough as it is, especially for a younger mom to think about that. But I would say it's important to pray prayers of preparation, that we can be plowing the ground. We can be laying prayer seeds for things that will spring up, you know, in the future. What would it look like if our campuses were a place where the Christian worldview was esteemed again, that it was valued in the marketplace of ideas? What if every campus had multiple campus ministries? So every student could find a place where they fit and felt at home. If every professor had a professor ministry that they could go to, and Christian professors and Christian students could mentor and encourage one another. I mean, just think about the future and the type of environment that you would want to pray into for your students to be a part of, and think of how that would change the world. if there is, Ratio Christi used to have a great theme called a renaissance of Christian thinking. If we can just have that again on our college campuses where truth is proclaimed and valued and discussed and ideas are debated civilly again and not, you know, as they are now, or people, freedom of speech and freedom of religion aren't shut down as they are now, or campus ministries are booted off of campus as they are now. We could create, with the Holy Spirit's help, with spiritual awakening and revival in these prayers, a whole different environment for the college campus.
We have to believe that this is possible. And yes. One of the ways that I just look back on to fuel that faith inside me that revival is possible is to read stories of revival. God yes. has done this. And what we're asking is for him to do it again. We can pray boldly.
And here's a neat thing. You know, we hear so much about the bad things happening on campus, right. but I have the privilege as the representative for Moms in Prayer to the Collegiate Day of Prayer. I attend a yearly meeting where we, you know, plan the next year's Collegiate Day of Prayer. And there's probably, I don't know, 50 or 60 leaders there from campus ministries or other things that touch the college campus. And one of the greatest things about that time together is we get to hear reports, good reports from the college campus. There are prayer cells breaking out all over campuses. There are many revivals. You're just not hearing about them. Arizona State University has had incredible things going on. So there is good news on campus, and there are students who are burdened to pray and to reach out to their peers and to make a change for Christ on the campus.
Oh, Julie, that's such good news. We always ask our guests to pray. And I just, Julie, would you pray for a revival? And yeah. that we would begin seeing these college campuses, the tide turning on them.
Father God, you are the holy God, the most powerful God, the sovereign God. You are the God of history, and you have done this before, and you can do this again. You are the God of revival and great spiritual awakening. Father, we thank you for that history. We thank you for how you have birthed student movements on campuses before and how you have used the prayers of moms to even be part of that. Father, we pray right now. I pray first of all for a revival in our church, that they would see the need to pray for the college campus. I pray for moms to continue to pray into the college years, and grandmas too. Pray for our students and our professors, that they would be points of light in a very dark campus. Father, would you, in your power, just bring about revival and spiritual awakening on our campuses again, so that there would be a refreshing and a new respect and outlook, Father, that the Christian worldview would be esteemed once again and valued on our college campuses. Lord, we thank you for the work you have done, for the work you're doing that we don't even see yet, and the work you will do. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Woo! What an episode. My guess is that God just re-revealed the importance of our college campuses to you, too. Have a friend you'd like to recruit to pray with you for revival and spiritual awakening on your student's college campus? Go ahead and share today's episode with them, and let's see what God will do as we pray. You can find show notes for today's episode and more information about all that we discussed on the blog at momsinprayer.org. We'd love to hear your stories about how prayer has affected your kids, your home, and your community. So email us at podcast@momsinprayer.org. Moms make the difference. Moms with kids at the crossroads of the world, or simply in their living rooms. Moms just like you. See you next time.